I'd like to welcome you to the. This is sort of funny. I've got to get used to this here.
Yeah, we need this moment. That's why I think it's good for us.
Okay. I'd like to just welcome you to this workshop on making amends. And originally it was called Face-to-Face Versus Living Amends. And we decided to change it because face-to-face and living amends are both important. So we want to welcome you to this time, and my name is Mary Beth, and I am a food addict, and I am maintaining a 50-pound weight loss. My abstinence date is February 3rd, 1993, and I'm a food inventory step maintenance sponsor, and I'm from Chicago.
Isn't it fun to have people from all over, including Chicago?
Especially Chicago.
Am I in on? Oh, yeah. Okay. Good morning. My name is Joan. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive eater. I'm thrilled to have you all here this morning, and I am a member and abstinent with CEA How since November 4th, 2000. So I have 10 years and 8 months and 13 days, I believe, of CEA How abstinence. I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor, and I'm very honored to be here with Mary Beth this morning and to work with you and talk about amends. I don't have my at one. Oh, my, I'm so sorry. Thank you. I was just asked where I was from, and I am actually, and one of the reasons I'm teasing Mary Beth, I am from New York City. However, I live here in Los Angeles now. So, you know, New Yorkers think of Chicago as New York Junior. Okay, one of the things that Mary Beth and I discussed when we were preparing, you can't hear? I love this thing. How's that? Okay, so this is something for all of you to remember also should you decide to come and share with us today. That there's two things we might announce right now in order to be part of this workshop and be recorded. You will need to sign a release, and it's right up here with a pen, and also that you do what I was just told to do, which is to bring the microphone right to my mouth. We deliberated briefly on something we really wanted to do, weren't sure depending on the size of the group. But we would love, and this doesn't necessarily have to be recorded, so I don't think you need to come to the front of the room, but would love to get to know you very, very quickly. In other words, just to have a sense of who's in the room, your name, and where you're from. So if we could just start over here. So now that we've all said hello, let's take a minute and say the Serenity Prayer together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That thy will not mine be done. So we provided you, or we didn't actually. What we wanted, you have a hand like this. What we wanted to start off with and to kind of get ourselves all in the together and where a little bit in our thinking is to read from the big book and the 12 and 12 about amends so that we can be thinking about. He's got a handout. and would love for I would love, let's see. And let's have some volunteers. There's about five pieces to this.
Are there about five people who would just read? Would you start then from at the top of that page and then?
So, is your name Amy?
Hmm?
Ernest, one, two.
Yeah, you can just stay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, we don't know your mind on the tape for the phone call.
Yeah, we do.
And we need to have
you. I'm so comfortable with the microphone. Marty, a compulsive overeater. Now we need more action. With that which we find that faith without works is dead. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning that we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol, compulsive overeating. Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry will not fit the bill at all. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 77 and page 83.
Just four more people line up so that we don't take too much time for it.
Also, are we out of handouts? Okay. If you could look over each other's shoulder for this, and we have a couple of others we'll be giving out. We'll make extra copies in a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Ernest, compulsive eater.
Hi.
Step 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 8 and 9 are concerned with personal relations. First, we take a look backwards and try to discover where we have been at fault. Next, we make a vigorous attempt to repair the demands we have done. And third, having just cleared away the debris of the past, we consider how, with a newfound knowledge of ourselves, we may develop the best possible relation with every human being we know. We must not exaggerate our defects or theirs. A quiet, objective view will be our steadfast aim. It is the beginning of the end of isolation from our fellows and from God. 12 Steps and 12 Tradition, page 77 and 82.
I am Linda, compulsive eater. Okay, step 9. May direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. We have made the list of people we have harmed, have reflected carefully upon each instance, and have tried to possess ourselves of the right attitude in which to proceed. We will see that the making of direct amends divides those we should approach into several classes. There will be those who ought to be dealt with just as soon as we become reasonably confident that we can maintain our sobriety or abstinence. There will be those to whom we can make only partial restitution, thus complete disclosures to them or others more harm than good. To complete disclosures to them or others more harm than good. There will be other cases where action ought to be deferred, and still others in which, by the very nature of the situation, we shall never be able to make direct personal contact at all. Amends to change for the better, improve. Completion of step 9. Do we lay the matter before our sponsor or spiritual advisor, earnestly asking God's help and guidance? Meanwhile, resolving to do the right thing when it becomes clear, cost what it may.
will require complete willingness to make amends as fast as far as possible in a given set of conditions. Above all, we should try to be absolutely sure that we are not delaying because we are afraid. For the readiness to take full consequences of our past acts and to make to take responsibility for the well-being of others at the same time is the very spirit of Step 9, Steps 12 and 11, Traditions, page 83 and 86.
I am Joyce, a grateful recovering compulsive eater. Amends to change for the better, improve, correction of faults, compensation for injury or loss, from Webster's Dictionary.
Okay, so now we've all had a moment or two to reflect a little bit on amends and kind of get into that thought process, perhaps. What we wanted to do now is just, Mary Beth and I are going to just take a very short few minutes to talk about the two different amends that we've mentioned here, face-to-face and living, and from our experience, share with you one of each. So I'm going to start, we're going to start with face-to-face amends. One of the things, though, before I say that, the reading talks about it. I think amends are, and they certainly were for me, a time where my process of working the steps really slowed down. Fully appreciating and understanding what the benefits of amends wasn't very clear to me. I was being urged to continue working the steps and to always be moving forward, but that taking responsibility and realizing that throughout, you know, going back through a fairly full and long life, and determining who I had harmed and taking full responsibility for that was definitely not an easy task. The blessing in our program is that we get to do that with somebody else, and we don't have to do it alone. We trudge this road with others. And very, very patiently, I worked with my sponsor, and we made a list, dividing it, sort of with different in different areas of my life. And when I think about this idea of face-to-face versus living amends, I believe that the ones that, while they were they felt embarrassing at the time, when I think about the majority of mine at that time in my life were financial amends. Some of them were actually institutions or organizations, and there was a certain level of distance and anonymity to those, and so I was able to address those with letters and make reparations. Others of them were financial amends that were more personal. They were friends, and in one instance, a family member. And those gave me the opportunity to do face-to-face amends and to make arrangements or because I was still not in a position to completely take care of the debt. Even with people that I was in contact with and I was able to make face-to-face amends, because it was a, I don't know, it's like an agreement. I decided to put it in writing as well. So
my example of a face-to-face amends was to ask to meet with a friend and to apologize for the length of time it had taken for me to repay a debt and to make arrangements to pay a certain amount on a regular basis over a period of time. And it took me quite a while to get through this whole process, but I think what helped a lot was having it be a process and having been able to start with, we did it where my sponsor had me take note cards and write down each individual person or entity on a separate card so that we could rearrange them, we could discuss them, we could take, you know, when it came to one that was I wasn't ready to tackle yet, we could put it at the bottom of the stack and come back to it, but it wouldn't keep us from moving forward. So I hope that's just an approach. That was one way that I got through a face-to-face amends, and I'll let Mary Beth share her a little bit about her process.
Thank you. I just have an example about a longtime friend. You know, sometimes when you do amends list, you have one person that keeps popping up and popping up and popping up. Well, this is one of those kind of people because we've been known each other for a long time. And we have two different perspectives on life. So if she says tomato, I say tomato. If she says up, I say down. We just seem to look at things totally opposite. And it took me a long time to be willing to make amends to her because I felt like she needed to make an amends to me. She was the one that was angry and negative and abusive, and I didn't need to make amends to her. But when I finally got to the willingness of, yes, I guess I do have a part in this relationship, I prayed for the willingness, but then I also prayed for the opportunity. And it seems to me that when we are ready, when we have the willingness, and when it's God's timing, then this person there will be an opportunity. And so I sat down with her and had a long conversation and really had to be honest about how I was negative toward her and how I was angry toward her, even though, I think that's what I was learning from her because that's how she came across, but it's probably because it was part of me as well. And then the other thing I had to really talk with her about, there was a period of time that I just kind of wrote her off because I didn't want to deal with her. And, you know, to really be honest about not wanting to do that anymore with her, not wanting to write her off. And the other part was that there was underneath the anger and the negativity for her was a layer of hurt that I just didn't see at all. All I could see was her outside, you know, bombastic, negative, angry approach to life. And when I stopped and really listened that there was hurt underneath there, I had to acknowledge to her that, you know, really apologize for not supporting her in her hurt, you know, just kind of focusing on myself and not seeing what her part, where her hurt was. So that was a very a direct conversation that I needed to have with her. And the next piece is the living amends. And living amends to me is that you know, the reason that this definition from Webster Dictionary is on here about amends: to change for the better, improve, correction of faults, compensation for injury or loss. Because it was drilled into my head by more than one sponsor that amends is not about apologizing. If it's only an apology and it goes nowhere else, then it means nothing. Because I don't know about you, but I was pretty used to apologizing for breathing wrong or looking badly at someone or apologizing for being I had a lot of apologies in my life, and if I don't have the willingness to really amend the relationship, amend my part of the relationship, then I can apologize every day for the rest of my life and it will mean nothing. So it really has to be followed by action. You know, I think it's very important to have that direct amends where we go to a person and talk to the person and really wrestle through where our part of the relationship has been. And then it's, okay, how do I change this from now on? Especially if it's a person that's in my life ongoing. If it's a person in my life who is not in my life most of the time, then maybe a direct amends is enough. But, and I don't even really think that's true after I said that. I think it's always important to have some kind of action related to this. And sometimes it might not be directly toward that person. But, for example, with this friend, one of the things that I was aware of was that I boxed her in and put her into this negative, angry category. So whenever I encountered her after that and I got this negative, angry person, I had to stop and say, okay, there is more to her than this. There's something underneath this. There, to try to go beyond this, this persona. And so I really have to pray for the grace to be able to listen past her stuff and be able to hear that maybe where there's some hurt there. I have to take the time to initiate relationship with her, especially after having a period of time where I just wrote her off and said, I don't want anything to do with her. And it's somebody that I need to have an ongoing relationship with because we're connected in other ways. And so, I think the other part of ongoing amends for me is to keep being honest, like to register when I am reacting to her in a negative way or in an angry way, to stop and say, okay, stop. Be present in this moment to this relationship and let go of my attitude toward her. So it demands action and it demands an ongoing attention and honesty. And I'll turn it over to Joan for a little bit more.
Okay, so we're now
talking about living amends.
And I'm going to give hopefully as brief as possible example of of living amends in my experience. And it's difficult in a way to think about brief because living as amends as part of, as Mary Beth and I discussed and as I say often is that this whole area of recovery is a process, and it's not one that has a start and has a finish. It is one that is ongoing, and living amends certainly, in my mind, falls into that because it's about making it's living the amends in our life as we go forward, and also about having amends continually being part of our life. I hope that sort of makes some sense. So I chose as we discuss this to share with you a little bit about my process of trying to figure out how I was going to make amends to my mother. And for all of us, I believe one of our, if not the most intense relationship in our lives is with our parents, and perhaps even mostly with our mothers. For me, it certainly was, and I lived rebellion from a very young age till I was into my 50s, and it was I was rebellious towards my mother, gathering anger throughout that whole you know, throughout my life. So for me to think about one particular instance, and as Mary Beth said, I certainly had said from the time I was a small child, as I think many of us do, we do something and we're chastised, we say, I'm sorry, and that's it. And then we sort of, it seems like then it's okay and we can move on. So saying I'm sorry one more time wasn't going to, you know, cut it. Really at the bottom of this relationship for me was to find a way to not let the anger come up to the extent that it did, where I walked away and then had no relationship. And I began to work on that, and also the miracle of this program for me was that once I had a period of abstinence and had been in recovery for a little bit, I began to have that awareness at the moment when something happened. When my mother said something, or my mother took an act, did something that she would have done and had done for years, I could feel that anger, and I, for the first time in my life, was able to take a deep breath and say, you know, this, at that time she was in her 90s. So I'm like, this isn't going to change. I'm not going to do something or say anything that's going to change her. So breathe. This is part of our relationship. I don't want to participate in this right now. And maybe it's time for me to walk away today, but I'm gonna, you know, I'll just say, you know what, this isn't helpful, and I'm going to come back tomorrow, or I'm gonna hang up the phone now, but I'll call you again in a few days. And for me, it was a miracle. It's been such a liberation to be able to accept that I participated in that whole scenario for all those many years, and that I could perhaps stop participating, and to realize that what she was saying and doing was part of stuff that was part of her, and was also whatever her expectations about me, her expectations for me, her projections onto me, whatever kind of analysis we want to give it is irrelevant. That was who she was, and that was how it was going to be, and it wasn't going to really change. But that I could now, in all my relationships, stop and give a little bit of thought and make a decision and not have all that anger in me and live a much, much freer and happier, really happier life. So I didn't speak directly about this with her, but I in the last she lived until 2 years ago, so for the last 8 years of her life that I was in recovery, I feel like our relationship was a very, very different relationship and much improved. So that's my contribution to living amends. What we want to do now, right, we're at that point, and we want to make sure we have sufficient time to do it, and we're ready for, I want to thank very, 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 very much our greeter and host in this room who has gone and made additional copies of the first handout we gave you. Did everyone now get one? There's still, do we have any more, Jean? Are we out of them again? Okay, well, maybe now that we know how to do it, we can get you a copy. That one you could share, but we do want you to have it. This one. No, this one. what we want to do now, and we've ended up now, we've grown since the first few minutes, we want to break into groups of four. So don't get too uptight about, you know, just gather with the people closest to you. And initially, what we're going to do is a very short writing exercise. And we just want you to reflect a little bit on what your experience has been or what's coming up for you now as we talk about amends. And then by being in a small group, give you the opportunity to share that with just a couple of people, because we'll never be able to do it all together. So if you take just as quickly as you possibly can, pull your chairs to be with three people closest to you. I think Lindy and Jean are handing out the writing exercise.
Do your writing independently first, if you would. We'll give you about 10 minutes.
We would like to have you do this in silence to start off with, and then we'll let you know when it's time to share in your group.
If you have already done amends.
If you've already done amends, perhaps share some experience that you had with that process, and whether you have or you haven't, in the just few minutes that we've been here that we've discussed amends, tell us, write a little bit about what has come up for you today about amends. So there's just two things. Take about 5 minutes on each, and there's, as with all of our exercises, all of our writing, there is no right or wrong. This is about your experience with what we're discussing.
So we invite you just to take some quiet time right now to just do the writing for yourself. Okay, what I would invite you to now is we're going to give you some time, 10 or 15 minutes, you know, to just share in your group whatever you'd like to share. There's no right or wrong sharing. If you feel like you need want to pass, you can do that. Just, you know, what is your share from your experience of this conversation around amends, if anything struck you, just whatever you'd like. There's no right or wrong. And please give yourselves time for each person in the group to be able to share. So, you know, don't talk too long, but talk enough. You know how that goes. We're going to give you 15 minutes altogether. We're going to give you an additional 5 minutes. So we're at the halfway point. You have 10 more minutes, so just to make sure that the other two people in your group also have a chance to share if you haven't gotten to that.
If every group at least two.
Okay, you have 5 minutes left, and in that 5 minutes, please make sure that everyone in your group has had a chance to share. So the last person, you should be moving toward the last person sharing. Okay, we would like to invite you to wrap it up and finish the sentence that you're saying and gather back into the larger group at your convenience.
God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Could we please have this side of the room on my left come back to the group as a whole? We'd like to use the time remaining to kind of come back together and perhaps with some of the thoughts that you've had and things that we've already discussed and thought about, just come to a close, that we will give you something positive to take away. What we were thinking about now is to take just a very short few minutes to think about, and maybe this is where I want to interject, one of the things we thought about and would have been probably helpful to have mentioned early on, and I would ask anybody listening to this to remember that this is steps 8 and 9. No, I know, I just, somebody in the room has been looking for someone else, and that's who it is. Okay. I'm sorry, when I get distracted, I have to take care of stuff. But since we're talking about 8 and 9, I'd like to remind everyone that, and I know not everyone is in the same place in their recovery process, that we do the steps in order. And it's very, they're in a certain order for a very, very, very good reason. And we don't know where each and every one of you is in this process. If you've already worked all of your steps and this is like a way to refresh and think more about this process, if you haven't yet worked your inventory and given it away in steps 4 and 5 and worked with somebody on your defects and done 6 and 7, then you probably aren't, you're not ready for steps 8 and 9. But I hope that even so, you got some useful information. But really remember that the brilliance of our program is that this was really designed, and it was designed to be worked, in that order. What about, and have any of you who have done amends perhaps be willing to share, if you have done amends and you had an experience with a positive response from the other person, or on the other hand, you've done amends and you had a negative experience. Is there anyone who would be open to sharing that? Tammy, would you sign the sheet, and then I'll give you the microphone. Yeah, go ahead, sign it. And if anybody else would think for a minute, if you are willing to share either one, you could come up to the room, sign the release for the recording. Okay, and then so when she's done, you can share.
Or it might even be easier just to kind of have one next year.
Okay. Hi, I'm Tammy, a compulsive eater.
Hi.
I was thinking about the amends I made with my mom, and growing up, she lived a lesbian lifestyle, and even though that's fine now, and it's more acceptable now, it wasn't back then. And so when I wrote out my amends and I went to talk with her, and then I just told her, I said, Mom, I said, you're a good mother growing up. I said, we always have food on the table and clothes on our back and a roof over our head. I said, but your lesbian lifestyle, I said I was very ashamed of it and very embarrassed about it. And then she told me, she said, I knew that. She said, I knew that. I knew you didn't like it growing up. She said, I don't know. I just got caught up at the time with what was going on then. And she said, I never felt comfortable about it down here. She said, but I knew you didn't approve of that, you know. And so then she said, and I accept your amends. And then I got on my knees in front of her, and I told her, I said, Mom, as a little girl, I said, I loved you so much. I loved you so much. I said, and all I ever wanted was for you to spend time with me. She said, is that all you ever wanted? I said, that's all I ever wanted. And then she held me, and a wail came from deep inside. I didn't even know it was inside of me, and I just wailed when she was holding me. And when I got up, it was just, the burden just lifted. And I had went on maintenance, and because I had stopped losing weight. But it was when I made the amends with her and with my father, who's passed away, that my midsection started shrinking. And since last year, I've lost an additional 20 pounds.
Thank you, Tammy.
Hi, I'm Lindy. I'm a compulsive eater in recovery. And I made several amends on several amends many years ago, and a couple of them were financial. And I had been in this business where I was producing other people's music. I wasn't making any money at it. And the last final issue, I got so busy and so overwhelmed, I didn't publish the last issue. And it was, I couldn't pay the musicians, I couldn't even pay myself, so all this was out of my own pocket. I'm continuing to distribute this music. And this one guy went into the studio and recorded some music and sent me the tape. And that's how long ago, the tape, right? And I had never called him and said, or wrote him and said, I am so sorry, you were one of the last artists and I never distributed it. And I was so freaked out about it because he was kind of high-strung when I was dealing with him. And when I called him, I wrote him a letter and then I followed up with a phone call. And he's like, oh, I was wondering what happened, no big deal. And the chunk of projection that I had nurtured and kept making, like, oh, this is the worst thing. What if somebody did that to me, blah, 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 over and over again in my head, was such a waste and such free rent in my brain. I should have just, you know, handled it at the beginning, but I was overwhelmed by the project. A bunch of other stuff was going on in my life. And he was like, oh, no big deal. So he had obviously gone through some transformation in that 5 or 6 years or whatever it long was. But I was, the projection of what it is so, sometimes so far less. Another thing that I want to share that was really powerful for me, I was making an amends letter for another financial thing. And we crafted this letter for probably a month, at least every day. And she kept saying, Lindy, you cannot tell them why you used the money. It doesn't matter if it was for, you know, repairing the, you know, putting the head back on your kid. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter. The fact that you own it, take responsibility for it, acknowledge fully your part in it, and it was wrong, and I will never do that again, and how can I make it right? Even though the justification in the back of my brain is going, oh, you know, I got to tell her why. It doesn't matter why I use the money. It doesn't matter. It's not important. What's important is to acknowledge my wrongdoing. Acknowledge it, own it, and how can I repair it?
Thank you, Lindy. My name is Judy. I'm a compulsive eater. Well, I've had about 4 different amends to tell you on my way up and as I'm standing here. I guess one of the things I want to say is don't do this alone. That I've made some amends in a big hurry and I've made things worse. And one of my sponsors had told me, I had my list, and she said, okay, now one at a time, you take first name and you pray every day until you wake up some morning and you know exactly what it is you need to do. And to keep in mind that my job is to correct what I've done wrong, but it was also to light, what can I do to light up the other person's life? And so that's kind of been my theme whenever I think about an amend. And one of my amends happened to be financial. I had a boyfriend and we decided we needed to go to therapy, and so he picked out who I should go to and he picked out who he should go to, and then he told me to tell this woman that I was on, I had a low income, although he had a lot of income, and he said, and she'll give you a discount, but I'll pay the bill. And so I said, okay. I went to her like 4 times and she gave me the discount, and I think she was even a psychiatrist, but anyway, she gave me the discount, and I never felt good about it. And so as I wrote the letter to her, I had to be careful not to blame the other person. He told me to. And so as I crafted the letter and went over it with my sponsor, kept pulling out ego over and over until it got down to the bottom line, I simply said I had another source of income that I did not tell you about,
and I found out her fee, and I sent her a check for the difference, and then I told her one sentence that she had said to me that meant so much, and she called me, and she said, "You have no idea what that sentence meant, because I never know whether anything I ever have said has made a difference to anyone." So, you know, we never know. And another one was a letter to one of my sisters, and she had done some things. She has opinions. I do, too. She had done some things that were hurtful, and I kept praying and praying, and I started to remember her generosity. You know, when I was a little girl, she gave me her campfire girl, you know, vest with all her beads and everything. When I graduated from high school, I couldn't afford a ring. She gave me her ring. We bought some gold paint and drew a line and made the 5 into an 8 so I could have a ring. And I wore it until it was threadbare and then realized it was not mine and I gave it back to her. But as I wrote her the letter, I told her all the things. When my husband was mentally ill and I was at a place where I had no place to go, I could go to her doorstep and she would let me in and she would let me cry and she would hold me until I could go back and face the family again. And I had written this letter to her and she called me and she said, "Okay, what is going on?" And she said, "I just went out of town this weekend. We went to a ball game or a dame game or something. And one of my friends came up to me and said, 'I just want to thank you for everything you did for me.'" And she goes, like, "I don't know what I did." And she shared with her how she had helped her find a home for one of her daughters who could no longer be at home. And then they all went to the mall for lunch, and she said, "I want to go to this mall because my sister-in-law is there." And they talked her into it, and they're standing in the mall part, and all of a sudden a hand goes on her shoulder, and it's my sister-in-law, and she said, "I want to say sorry for all the things I've done." Then she gets home and gets my letter, and she said, "Wow, you never know what God has in store. Thanks for letting me share."
Thank you, Judy.
Hi, I'm Lois. I'm a compulsive eater. Thank you for this workshop. I didn't know what I was walking into. This is powerful stuff, and all your pitches are just amazing. This is good news, bad news, good news. Good news, bad news, good news. So the amends, when I first got into program, and I did the inventory, and I got my list of people I owe amends to, and I went out and about and did them. And it was very good with my mother and my brother, and then I got to do living amends with them, behaving differently, and also just being in program. You know, people do ask me, "How do you have this long-term abstinence?" It is towards my daughters. I was a monster when I ate, and I didn't want them to find me dead on the bathroom floor, choked to death from bulimia. That's the God's truth. And my mother had lost her mother at the age of 5 and saw her dead, and it changed the woman forever. She was left scarred to the day she died. "No one was there for me" was her slogan. I couldn't do that. So there was a purpose greater than myself, and I walked into this program, and I was willing to do anything, make a fool of myself and have a bass drum and tambourine or something on the corner if I had to. I'll do anything. And lo and behold, you never hurt me. You only healed me. So it was, a bad amend. I went up to San Francisco. I live in the San Fernando Valley, north of here, 20 miles. And I went to San Francisco to visit a childhood friend all the way through middle school and high school, and she would not receive me. That was just the truth. I called her at the park near her house, and I looked her up in the phone book up in Marin County, and she said, "No, I want nothing to do with you." And it was stunning and shocking. And that's just the way it goes sometimes. She says, "I've closed," and she revealed something. She said, "I've closed the door on that part of my life." So it let me know that she was very injured of life in general from living in Los Angeles. She hated it. She now lives in the Bay Area. She has a whole new life, and she wants nothing to do with that part of her life. Don't take, you know, it says principles before personalities. Don't take that personally. She had the bad life. Oh, okay. And I had to honor her and leave her alone. And then the good amends with my daughters, just mothers and daughters, but ongoing. My daughter is an alcoholic. The drinking bothers me a lot. And when she gets drunk, she starts spouting off at the mouth, especially at family functions, and starts bad rapping me out loud. And people are embarrassed. They'll get up, I'll leave the room, and they'll get up and say, do you hear she's saying about you? I'm like, yeah. I offered to pay for therapy. We went together. And someone said she agreed. Do you see the magic in that? The moment, the blessing, where she said yes. And I knew it was going to be good. And we sat face to face, and we both took off our armor. And she said what she needed, and I said what I needed. And we've made an amends to each other. And it's now, okay, the baby. It's now been 18 months. I can tell my ages of grandchildren. 18 months, and we do a living amends to each other. I help her. She has a hard life and things. As her mother, helping her raise her kids, and just being her friend. And I don't mention her drinking, and she doesn't say bad things towards me, but we do this living courtesy amends and love to each other in trust. So that's how I walk today. Thank you.
Thank you, Lois.
My name is Cookie, and I'm a compulsive eater. And this is an amends that started out bad but ended up really good. And I know that most of the things that we eat over or use over is finance and romance. And this is about romance. And, I had this really, really, really good friend. And my boyfriend had broken up with me. And I had been at a retreat, and I was crying on her shoulder about how much he hurt me and how much I cared for him. And 2 weeks later, she was with him. And so I had been, like, devastated by this, because this woman had been my sponsor in another program for quite a while, and she knew a lot of my secrets. And so I started bad-mouthing her around the rooms, and about everywhere, for a while, I hadn't seen her in a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, I was seeing her at every meeting I went to, and it was just making me feel very, very, very uncomfortable. And even though I did not want to do this, this one night I went up to her at a meeting, and I said, could I speak to you? And she said, yes. And I went outside, and I said, I'm really sorry for everything that I've been saying about you. And I said, I hope that, I don't know if we could ever be as good of friends as we once were, but I would like to let all this go. And I knew I was doing that for me. And all she said was, thank you for that. And I walked away like saying, B-I-T-C-H, you know? And then I go, no, this was about healing me more so than healing her. And so a year went by, and I was at this other retreat, and she came up to me at this retreat, and she said to me, I just want to tell you that I am sorry for what I did to ruin our friendship. And I just felt like, wow, what 12-step recovery can do for people. Because when I walked away from that, I felt like even though I was still kind of hurt inside for her betraying me the way she did, I knew that she is just like me. She's, you know, a compulsive eater, an addict, or whatever, and I can forgive her today. And I actually, when I see her, I hug her. I feel okay with it today. And you know what? She did me a favor.
Thank you, Cookie.
Thank you, Cookie. And thank you all for your sharing and for your presence and your interaction today. It would be helpful if I gave away my copy of the readings, if somebody could give me that just real quickly. I just would like to remind us that doing the eighth and ninth step is very difficult when we start off, and we don't want to do it because it's like trudging and it's really hard work and we're afraid of how it's going to be. But if we do the effort to do the eighth and ninth step, then we get to the promises. And I'm just going to quickly read them. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. So with that, we'd like to close and just thank you again. It's been a gift to be of service with Joan here. And as you are going out the door, our wonderful friendly host, Jean, will give you a piece of paper. And before you go, I just want to just tell you briefly what it is. It's just another opportunity to continue trudging along this road. And it's just kind of a chart to do amends. So, it just lists the person, you know, what harm has been done, what am I willing to make amends. So it's just something that you might take and benefit from later. Thank you all.